Okay, we can wrap it up. That's an hour and a half. We're good. There we go.
What's wrong?
No, everything's great. It was a fantastic joke.
You didn't like
it? No, it's fantastic. It's a great joke. Everyone's happy. It's fantastic.
Someone liked it.
Sure, someone did.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a pot for every lid.
There is.
Yep. And a lid for every pot. And a Thora Birch joke for every... The joke was worthy.
Of?
Contempt.
Everyone, my name is David Dedrick. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon.
And by the hoary hosts of Hoggoth, I'm Ian Boothby, and I'm welcoming you as well.
Well, thank you for bringing out the hoary hosts.
Yeah.
Do you know what hoary hosts would mean?
Why don't you tell me?
I'm just asking if you know what it means.
Well, I believe that people will be hosting a party.
Yeah.
In a hoary style. In the Hoggoth area of town, which is near Hogwarts.
Yeah.
It's in the mystical kind of thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
And do you know who's playing at that party? The Crimson Band of Sidorak.
Is that right?
I'm doing some deep cuts here right now. Yes.
What's the name of that again? Hoggoth, you said?
Hoggoth.
Hoggoth. Oh, sorry.
I think so.
Okay.
Well, we'll find out. We're going to go see that Doctor Strange movie later on.
Hmm.
Normally, we pretend we're not going to see it, and then we see it. But we're going to go see that later on.
We're going to go
see it.
And
we'll see how he pronounces it. I might be mispronouncing the Eye of Agamotto wrong since I have been 12.
I assume you have.
Mm-hmm.
If you read it as a 12-year-old,
right.
It seems likely that you'd got it wrong.
Now, the Crimson Bands of Sidorak, I believe, are in some way connected to the Juggernaut character in Marvel, because he gets his powers, I think, a similar way.
Yeah.
His unstoppable force is like magic, which, as you know, I think is bullshit in most stories.
Yes.
And especially if you've got a story where everyone's mutants. They're all mutants. What do you got? Mutants. I was born with this power, now I got mental powers. Great.
Yeah.
I was born this way, and I got magnet powers. Great. I found something magic. I found a suit of magic.
Yeah.
Oh, well, fuck off. That's not an X-Men story then. Boo on you, Juggernaut, in the original X-Men. No, you're not magic.
Very, very early on character, probably the first couple stories, wasn't it?
Yeah, very close to the start.
He kind of keeps showing up, and you're like, okay,
I believe he's the stepbrother of Professor Xavier. They did not get along.
Cool. With a name like that, it's...
Yeah, yeah. Had a problem with his brother having psychic powers.
His other brother, Jaeger Shots.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice. And we're off and running. then he got the Juggernaut. He found a Juggernaut helmet.
Yeah.
And put it on and got powers and couldn't be stopped. And if you think like, oh, that's a good character idea for X-Men, a character he runs and he can't be stopped.
Yeah.
You might think like, what'd you have a couple issues back? We had the character that couldn't be moved. The Blob.
That's right.
Nothing can move the Blob.
I would think I was confusing the Blob with Juggernaut.
Blob
is very early on.
Yeah, I think Juggernaut was past the Kirby days.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a character who couldn't be moved.
Okay.
And you had a character who couldn't be stopped.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait for these two to meet. They never met.
Mm-hmm.
Put them together, guys. This seems obvious.
You know, I don't think I've ever read an actual Doctor Strange story. And I've never read a Steve Ditko Stan Lee Doctor Strange story.
Okay.
I think I read a miniseries, like a much more current or whatever miniseries, but I've never read a Doctor Strange story. And I do like Steve Ditko quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's probably one of my favorite creators of characters.
Really?
Yeah. Well, Spider-Man, boom.
Spider-Man.
Off the top.
Spider-Man's
there, that's
number
one. Okay. There you are.
You do credit him with
co-creating I'd say Spider-Man. So. The look, the gangliness, the whatnot. That is not a Kirby creation,
no.
Spider-Man.
But didn't Kirby draw the first cover?
He drew the cover, that's right.
Of Amazing Stories, I guess.
And if you want to get way back, you know, he had Kirby had a character that was like the Something Spider that was like an old character of his. So did he come up with Spider-Man? Did Stan Lee? Who knows?
Yeah.
One of those things.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
To be fair, there was also a character already called the Web, who's like shot webs out of a gun.
Oh.
And the idea of a character who's somewhat spider-related.
I thought he just looked stuff up on his phone.
Yeah, in the early 60s. Unfortunately, there was nothing there. You know, if he just waited it out.
Was it there or wasn't it?
The web, the internet?
Was it
in the 60s?
Was
early
it around
60s?
The 60s?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, we'll see.
I wonder when it started.
It's a good question. Because we should look that up on the internet. Well, it would tell you its own origin story.
But I'm just wondering. I don't want to know. I'm just wondering.
And there's tons, and there's always tons of, you know, the Black Widow, you know, villain. You know, I think like, I'm trying to think. I think like Captain America in the old serials like fought her or whatever. But there's always like lots of spider-related.
Pretty good name, right?
I think there was a character called the Spider, for crying out loud.
Okay.
But
there was the Fly.
There was the Fly. So you think like he would have an enemy called the Spider. Mm-hmm. That seems obvious. But once again, the unmovable and the unstoppable never met in the X-Men. So sometimes people just don't put two and two together.
So Steve, let's go back to Steve Ditko. So he created Spider-Man.
Great create, yeah.
Doctor Strange.
I like the Creeper very, very much.
I like the Creeper a lot. Like, the great question. Costume. Great costume. The question is. Question is basically a kind of toned down Mr. A. Is that what?
Well,
the question
Mr.
is?
A came later.
Is that right? After the question?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I strongly believe that. Yes. Mm. Yeah.
But you don't know for sure.
I strongly believe that.
Mm-hmm.
If I had something to bet, I would bet that.
Sure.
That, yes.
Trump strongly believes he's going to win.
Yeah, well, we'll see. By this point next week, we'll know.
He's going up in the polls.
Who would Mr. A vote for in this election?
Oh, you know what?
He's an absolutist. He's an Ayn Rand follower.
Not, I don't think he would vote for Trump.
Because he thinks Trump's a bullshitter.
Yeah.
Trump, and also, he's Trump not for prejudice. He does not believe in prejudice.
Yeah.
Does he believe in prejudice? Do you think the Ayn Rand supporting superhero Mr. A?
I think if you're an absolutist,
prejudice against criminals, I would say.
I would say if you're an absolutist, you do you do prejudge people based on their beliefs, not following in line with what you think is. You know what I mean?
My wife and I were talking about this morning, and I'm forgetting who was talking about it online, but it was saying how because Steve Ditko, is kind of an absolutist. He quit Marvel. He left Marvel behind. Yep. Has not asked for money for his creations.
Not interested in
including
that.
Your Spider-Man and now your Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
So following Ayn Rand will cost you tens of millions of dollars. So you Ayn Rand followers out there, good luck with that.
Well,
I would say
that he has taken elements of Ayn Rand and kind of created his own sort of version of that.
Because he's a creative type.
What is her thinking? What is her thing called again?
Her philosophy?
Objectivism, yeah. Which everyone objects to. That's why it's called objectivism. It's interesting because, you know, it's kind of, I think it's strongly rooted in Nietzsche, you know, the idea of there being no objective. I mean, she believes in objective standards. I don't quite understand. Like Nietzsche's idea was that...
Well, she believes in things, but she does not live on those things.
Nietzsche's idea was that...
I believe she spent the last years of her life on welfare.
Is that right?
I believe so. At least there was government funding.
People didn't tell her, though, right? They just pretended it was her book earnings for the fountainhead.
They just dropped money down the
chimney.
Like,
people are still loving Atlas
Shrugged.
There's
nothing against Santa Claus in objectivism because he leaves objects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like Nietzsche believed in was the idea is that, you know, God is dead, that the slave morality of Christianity is out the door.
Okay.
And, you know, we're going to disregard all that stuff and create our own kind of morality. We're not beholden to any old ideas of or any ethical standards except our own that we establish.
Okay.
And I assume that's what she is taking to a degree, but she does sort of have this idea that there are absolute standards. There are objective standards that aren't subjective, because I assume that's what objectivism would mean, is that they're not subjective.
Please correct us if Dave is incorrect.
And that we can know or instinctively know a moral or develop a moral code that we will follow that's outside of. So she didn't believe in like supernatural, so she was an atheist, so that, you know, and
I guess
and
I always
Dick
saw
was
it
also
as,
very critical of like religious figures
yeah
and stuff
I,
like that.
I always saw it as, and I'm oversimplifying, but I got mine, you get yours, and by I got mine by people taking care of themselves, things will get better. Everyone will, you know, if I'm really good at something, I should profit from that. No one else should profit from it but me. If I'm by the sweat of my brow, I should do my thing. But and we're going to then get incredible buildings. We're going to get amazing things. But, you know, don't worry about those that are weak and taking care of the poor and those that are, you know, by you achieving, you will make the world better. And by you profiting, you will inspire. And then the world will be better.
Well, there was an element of that. But if you read Atlas Shrugged, there's also an elitist element that not everyone deserves or will earn.
And they can't.
This,
yeah. There's no way they can.
Yeah.
But too bad. The world will be better because, mm-hmm. And if the world's not
better. And Nietzsche was the same. Nietzsche yeah. felt like there is a herd of you know, human slaves that were there to serve the elite. And of course, he numbered himself amongst the elite.
Of course he did. That's the only way this works.
That's the essential part of
this. Yeah, whenever people lay out this thing, it's like, so you're seeing yourself as one of those great ones that should be rewarded. Well, but what if you're not? What if you fall on hard times, you get ill? What's to you to be swept away, you know, as the dust in the street? You know, it sounds great when you're in college and you've got everything in front of you and you're like, no, I'm going to make it. And everyone's been praising me and I got into this elite college and things are great. Of course I'm one of the elite.
Yeah,
and it's like, but I also, well, good luck with that, pal.
But I also think it's a part of, I don't think it's declared by Donald Trump, but I think it's part of this idea of Trumpism or Trumpery, that the people who like him because they think that they can still win. You know, that there's still a chance that they're going to like be like Donald Trump and they're going to have a lot of money.
Everyone thinks they're going to win the lottery.
Yeah, that's right. But I think that's a fairly new idea in culture, the idea of the lottery winner is a fairly new concept for people.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember when the lottery came in, when it was limited to $1 million.
Well,
it couldn't be more than $1 million.
Well, I remember before that when we had the lottery and we all like drew names. And then that one lady, she said, oh, no, I didn't. And we had to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was the original lottery. And then someone went, look. I like the name. I like elements of this.
Just the name.
And you got to be in it to win it. But I don't think people will enter it every time if we murder the person that wins. Why don't we make it like $1 million?
Yeah.
And then the lottery became very popular after that. But it, you know, you got to give it. You got to start somewhere. That's why pencils have erasers.
That's one of the greatest short stories ever written, if I may make a brief.
I remember reading that in school and everyone's jaw dropped to the end. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well done.
Because she's a really, really, really good writer.
Like yeah. She should profit by the sweat of her brow and do well.
She has a really good story about...
Who is this author?
Shirley Jackson.
Good job, Shirley Jackson.
She has a really good story about
Miss Jackson,
publishing that short story, which was in The New Yorker. That's where it was first published. And just the reaction to that story. Because she was... It's interesting. She wasn't really... She was better known as a humorist. She wrote... humorous stories about her family life, and they're quite good. They're really good stories.
Mm-hmm.
And that story is so weirdly off the beaten path of what she wrote at that time.
Really? Because it feels like a humorous story. Like it's the same.
The lottery?
Yeah, it's the same deal. It's just a twist ending.
Straight setup,
yeah. Twist. And you either make it the twist a funny twist or the twist a horror twist. Because I personally feel like comedy and horror
but it's,
are very
similar. Very similar. But I think it's more, I think people took it more as a horror twist and didn't see that.
Oh, it was a horror twist, absolutely.
And
but
didn't,
the structure.
But yeah, but didn't see didn't see the irony in it or the message in it. They just took it as a straight recommendation. And so there's a lot of hate mail and a lot of, it's one of those situations where you're writing near no one's paying attention to you.
Yeah, obscurity.
Yeah, near obscurity. And then suddenly you are on the front page of the New York Times and everyone's pointing fingers at you. And so, yeah, it's interesting.
And she went like, this feels like I've won the lottery.
Which wasn't really a concept then, but like I was funny when the lottery first came in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
A teacher at my elementary school won, like in the first couple of years, won $1 million, which in 1970s was a lot of money.
Sure thing.
And he
but quit. There was less stuff to buy.
And he left.
Of course he did.
Quit.
You of know, course
who
he
can
did.
Blame him, right? But yeah,
if teachers made money, they were out of there like a bullet.
It's interesting.
I remember back then,
there must be some sort of time. Like cultural thing where we went from if you knew someone who like was always in debt, they lived in the never never.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they weren't ahead of their bills and stuff like that, you know.
Right.
And that was that was a reason to condemn them, to now where we live under like a constant cloud of debt here in Canada anyway.
Right.
You know, we live in this, you know, and so the banks have to like, you know, keep like, you know, 20,000 anvils on top of our interest rates in order to, because if the interest rates went up to what, like to 1980s level of 13% or more, everyone would be selling their houses or trying to sell their houses.
Yeah.
Would be mailing their house keys to the bank because we would not be able to afford our payments on our credit cards, on our, you know, what are things called, our line of credits, our mortgages, all those sort of things like that. So we just live in this totally different upside down world than what our.
If you don't have debt, it's weird.
It is weird, and
it's like, what's wrong with you? Why don't you have the debt?
And it's hard to live that way.
Yeah,
it's hard to live without.
You always feel a little sick about it too, and it's it's no good.
Yeah.
And you know who would have a lot of money though if he had compromised? Steve Ditko. Hey, I went all the way back to that. Like, could you imagine? Like, he invented Spider-Man, for crying out loud. Cohen created Spider-Man.
But
like,
is he? But okay, for him.
Yeah.
His point about it is that I signed a work for hire contract,
mm-hmm.
and I got paid for my work.
Sure.
At that time, there was no, I didn't sign a contract that had any other guarantee of extra income to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I signed away the rights to this character with my work for hire contract,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I knowingly signed at that time period.
Right.
So his feeling is he doesn't deserve any more money because he got paid what he wanted, what he expected at that time, and so to him. Like any kind of extra payment is not warranted because that's not what he agreed to.
Right.
And so he feels like.
But I don't see how. Yeah. I get
that's his.
That.
That's his. Point
I get
of
him
view, right?
not. Okay. Here's what I see. I get him not pursuing it
yes.
and going like, I'm not going to pursue it.
Mm-hmm.
But if they approach him as they have
yes.
and said, we have money for you.
Yeah.
Take the money
yeah.
because the company now is going, listen, we have profited so much more than we ever expected.
Yeah.
Infinitely more than we've ever expected.
Yeah.
This character is on everything, everywhere, and nowhere in the world.
Sure.
You were one of
but
the
great. But it's not the company that's doing this. It's the super amount of pressure they got in the 80s and 90s
mm-hmm.
to recognize and pay back.
Right.
The giants
but
whose shoulders are standing
happened,
on.
Those
yes.
events have happened.
Yeah.
He has not pushed on that, mm-hmm. but the circumstances now are this.
Yeah.
The company benefits
mm-hmm.
but in publicity
yeah.
by giving money to the creator. So yay them. They also have enough money that like the small amount that they give to like say Stanley,
yeah.
the minuscule amount they would give to him, that would be a huge amount to him.
Yeah.
Does not no skin off their nose
mm-hmm.
whatsoever.
No, you're right.
None.
You're right.
So yeah. here's that money.
Mm-hmm.
Take that money. Why not? Because otherwise the corporation has that money. It's now in their banks and it's fine. You know, it's there.
I guess to Ditko, it's not his. So he didn't earn
it. But it is if the corporation is saying, here it is, we're giving it to
you.
Yeah,
but it's just a gift. It's not earned.
Well, it is earned because the creation that he, mm-hmm. that he did.
Yeah.
Has earned
yeah.
the company
but he got
his
paid.
Actions.
His point is, I got paid for that.
That's
already.
Correct. You did.
So anything you give me now is a gift. Not
no.
It's nothing I deserve.
No. It's nothing. Oh yes, you do deserve. Well, first of all, of course you deserve it. But like what you're talking
I
about, like you're right. He earned
way.
The money that he for drawing the work.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Now, as a side effect of the stuff that you
mm-hmm.
drew. It went way beyond anything anyone could ever expected, and
yep.
it's now available, and it has permeated things that did not exist then,
yep.
like video games, and it's on cell phones, and it's fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
So listen, we didn't know about that then. Things have changed, and as things have changed, there's money now that we would like to give you. I'm saying give
mm-hmm.
that we would like you to have. It benefits us, the company, because we now look good for sharing what we should have. We should share.
Yeah.
Take it. You no harm to you. No harm to us. All benefit to you. Benefit to us. Hooray. No. Well, okay, fine. You know what? It's fine. It feels like.
Does it make you mad that he won't take the money?
It just feels like the little monk who's like sitting there going, no, you know, and it's
yeah.
like, that's.
But I mean, this is right. If he doesn't feel that. He merits that money.
It feels like a philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the philosophy benefits him. Maybe it gives him such structure in his life that it's great. But again, it feels like a monk who has forsworn everything. And someone's
That's
going,
fair.
There's delicious food here.
Mm-hmm.
And the monk is going, no, I have forsworn this food.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, but have you seen this wonderful movie and all this stuff and this art? No, none of that for me. How about sex? Have you tried sex? It's fantastic. No, I'm happy to be here. a monk with my head shaved and I'm going to go eat some gruel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know what? Technically, yes, you've got the right to do that. But fuck off! Just take some food and try it out. And life, you know, just give it a shot. Enjoy it. Crying out loud. Crying out loud. Well, to
me,
it bugs me because he has brought such joy to me through the work that he has done.
Yeah.
That I would like him to experience some joy in that and not, you know... Ugh,
but you don't,
any philosophy taken to an extreme, you know...
But you don't know how happy or unhappy he is.
Mm-hmm.
And he might be well off. He's he's still working. He still does his avenging planet.
Yeah, he still takes jobs. He still takes small jobs. He's got a small office in New York City.
Yeah.
He still does things. Absolutely. That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes. And yet, if he would open this door, there is so much. In fact, you know, give it to charity for fuck's sake. Though he doesn't believe,
he doesn't believe in charity.
Give it to anything. Do something with it.
He doesn't
it.
Believe in charity, and this probably to him feels like charity.
And yet, it is the opposite of charity.
Nah.
Yeah, no, it isn't. Because charity is, I feel sorry for you. Here, have this.
Yeah.
You know, you poor man, you do this. But like he has.
Well, there is an element of that to it, isn't there? I mean, the reason that we came out and got all mad at Marvel for not giving back Jack Kirby's artwork was that we felt sorry for Jack Kirby for not receiving the benefits of the work that he did.
Okay, but there were situations with the Kirby thing that are different in that there's trickery involved. There was like legitimate trickery.
Mm-hmm.
There was things like when you sign the back of your checks to cash your check.
Everyone did.
Yeah, but when you sign the back of your check to cash your check, you know, there's a thing on the back there that says it's all work for hire and it's this kind of stuff. And it's just like, you know, fuck off. Mm-hmm. Fuck off with all that, you know? Yeah. And then when it came time to, like, give his art back, they hid some of it and took it away. Yeah. It was just like, well, it's bullshittery.
Mm-hmm.
Enough of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and yeah, when you see, like, you know.
It became very personal.
Right.
And Marvel was smaller.
And it's a Siegel and Schuster
than,
thing, too.
Yeah.
That story broke. And it was like, well, Schuster is working as a delivery man.
Yes.
You know, delivering stuff to DC, walking in, seeing a big Superman thing on the wall. And like, I created that guy.
Yeah.
And I'm delivering packages here and everyone's making money off this except me.
Yeah.
And that sucks. You know, and I get it. You know, and there's an ethical issue there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if someone wants to be the monk and wants to turn it all away because of philosophy, that's fine. But it's weird with Ayn Rand, which is really that, again, I feel like I've got mine, you get yours. Like the reason that the college students like Ayn Rand so much is because they can see themselves benefiting.
Yeah.
And a bit like Scientology, I don't have to give back too much. You know, I profit, I do well, and I feel no guilt at like the poor that are, because that's, you know, fuck them, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but if you the way you end up then is, you know, in your 80s, 90s, working in a small office, still working, you know, every day. Is that what those college kids want? No, of course not. They want the big payday. They want it. So the opposite, it seems, is what you get out of this Ayn Rand philosophy if you follow it to its extreme in the Ditko case. So these guys, don't do it, you dopes.
Well, they're only going to take what they're going to cherry pick what they like out of it and throw out the rest.
That's how you do. That's what you do with philosophy.
Well,
and the thing about Ditko, when you think about, you know, I want to start listing like the creations of his. It's not just like, oh, you've created these heroes, like weird things like Hawk and Dove, I like, and all these things. But like just those first issues of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
All the villains that they're ever going to use in the movies, with the exception of maybe Venom.
Yeah.
Are all in those first issues.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
He created, you
because
know,
they're so iconic. We still
right. The
we
Vulture.
Still think
he
of
created
them.
Dr. Octopus. He created Electro. He created the Lizard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he made beautiful designs for all of them.
Yeah.
So
Sandman.
Much so that, you know,
the Rhino.
Yeah. And he did a bunch of stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Mysterio.
Yes.
Which is a great character. Why haven't they used that character yet?
Mysterio?
Yeah.
Have they not used Mysterio? No, they really haven't.
No. Maybe the helmet thing is a put up. I don't know. But I think I was funny. I was watching something about the second set of Spider-Man films.
Okay.
The Amazing Spider-Man. The ones with Andrew Garfield?
Yes. And Emma Stone.
And Emma Stone. That's right. Yes. And who else?
Just Emma Stone. That's it.
And Tay DeHaan, is that his name?
And Sally Field.
Sally Field, that's right.
Aunt May.
That's true.
In the youngening of Aunt May. And it's going to go farther, folks.
The youngening?
It's going to get younger every time.
The youngening.
Yep.
The youngening. It was interesting watching that because how terrible it is. Like Electro. It's terrible.
Oh, the second film is
terrible.
The first one has a little bit of redeeming.
It's okay.
But the Lizard, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Who gives a shit? Why the Lizard? Fuck off. We don't need the Lizard. But bullshit. Then, I lined up all of... Hey, we lined up all the things so you could swing fast now. Use guy. That's what we did. All the cranes is all lined up. That's the best thing you can do?
Yeah.
All right, fine.
Well, at least they give us something to know that where his webs are going.
Yeah.
Because often when they have Spider-Man swing around, you're like, where? Where did that web go? I don't even think there's a building there.
Yeah.
I think he just...
Doesn't it feel like instead of that, how about we're sending a helicopter? Why don't you just jump on that and we'll take you there? Isn't that faster than we're going to swing that fast all through the city? Doesn't it feel like a helicopter's faster?
But you kind of got to let him do his thing. It'd be kind of silly if he was just hanging from
a
helicopter
flying
through the...
It was just a complicated... We're controlling all the cranes and we're going to line them up.
But yeah, but that's the thing. It was the people.
Yeah.
It was the people doing it. It wasn't...
No, and that's what you do.
It wasn't
that's,
the police.
Yeah, that's the angle that
the
you want.
The police still are mad at him.
Yeah, it's a smart thing to do in a Spider-Man story.
Speaking of the police.
Yeah. Oh, well, we're gonna take a guess as to... oh, well, maybe we're not going to take a guess because it's not coming down our street. That was a nice thing in the...
We can still take a guess.
In the first Sammy... okay, it was... It was. Let's say it was the police. In the first Spider-Man movie, you had this the New Yorkers on the bridge when the Green Goblin is causing trouble, mm-hmm. and they all throw shit at him.
Yeah.
Somehow they get bricks. I don't know what they're doing. If they're disassembling,
they're tearing their bridge apart.
It's just like they brought rotten fruit and bricks on their walk across the bridge.
I think
maybe
just,
they got some of their trunk.
I think they're taking the bridge apart.
Possibly, but it was nice, like the New Yorkers throwing, like, mm-hmm. "Hey, you mess with him, you mess with us. We're the city," and he's like, "That's great, nice, that works." And then you know, in the second film, you know, he stops the train and everyone carries him, and it's very Christ-like, but it's sweet, and it's like, we ain't gonna tell no one who you are, you know, with your mask and whatever with New York.
Is there anyone left in New York who actually speaks like that? I don't believe it.
Well, in that there is. And I don't know what happened to the third film because, you know, whatever.
there
who
was
knows?
Eight villains.
But so when you get to this film and it's like, oh, what are they going to do now? We're going to line up all the crates. All right, fine. It's all right. So you can fight that lizard man.
Yeah,
it's fine.
It's not great. The thing that really bothers me the most in that film is the scene where Emma Stone returns to...
Is this the second film or the first film?
First film. Returns to the lab where the Dr. Lizard is.
Old Doc Liz.
Old Doc Liz. And she's in there, and suddenly there's this one piano note or chord that's played.
Okay.
It just kind of... Dum, for no reason.
Right.
I don't know why it was there. Mm-hmm. It's never repeated as an effect. Mm-hmm. It's just this weird one-time hit the piano. I don't know what the hell is going on there. That's another terrible thing about that second Amazing Spider-Man is the music in that film.
Oh, is it?
Terrible.
I didn't even notice the music. It was just so...
Oh, it's terrible. Like when they're fighting Electro and it's like playing music as he's hitting like a ping. It's like a pinball machine and he's hitting the big electric towers and it's going like... Like,
and
no,
we're,
go
and
away.
By that point, we've already had some Marvel movies like the Iron Man movies and whatever. It's like they've showed you how to do it. There's no excuse for Amazing Spider-Man 2. There's none. Like you've seen the Raimi one, and then you
director.
Saw Raimi go off the rails with the third one.
It's not Raimi that went off the rails. The studio went off the rails.
Sure. Okay. And even that.
Don't blame Raimi. Don't blame the Raimi.
There's some stuff in there that's still charming and fun in the third one. You could edit that down to something good.
Yeah, you could.
But you can't do anything with Amazing Spider-Man 2. You can't do anything with it. Mm-hmm. It's garbage. The nerdy guy who's like an inch from being radio. Like just an inch. And it's just like, oh, the most pathetic guy in the world.
Yeah.
He falls into a tank of electric eels?
Holding an electric cable. He gets electrocuted, falls into a tank of electric eels.
Right.
Holding an electric, but they're mutated electric eels. Don't forget that.
Right.
Holding an electric cable.
Right.
And he survives.
Why?
But he turns into a translucent jelly.
Yeah, then he's a jerk. And it's like, why is he a jerk? You made him he was the sad nerd.
Yeah.
And then you gave him powers and then he immediately turns evil.
Spider-Man
and now we
up.
Gotta kill him.
Yeah.
Well, fuck you. Fuck you, movie. What are you doing? What are you thinking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't know their constituency.
They don't. Yeah. Well, this is a thing like about I was talking
but here's a, I just want to say this one thing about this movie just before
say,
sorry. Before we go on.
No, please.
When I watched the Raimi Spider-Man and we see Green Goblin. I was not happy with his costume. I was not happy.
You don't like the Kabuki outfit?
It's just, nah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Well, it's the stupid thing on that is your face looks like the Green Goblin. You're already, you know, Willem Dafoe. You got
No, that's a mistake.
You Willem.
No, that's a mistake.
You got Goblin face.
No.
What do you think?
Because they do that in the, that's the thing I was going to say, Amazing Spider-Man.
Uh-huh.
Oh, they drop it down a few more feet. Like, it goes down, it's even worse.
So you're saying, what are you saying? I'm sorry.
Because then they have the... Tade Han, I think his name is, the actor. He was in Chronicle. So.
Okay.
And so he becomes a Green Goblin in the second film for no reason.
Okay, yeah.
No reason at all. Suddenly he's flying around and they didn't give him a mask or anything.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of like fluffed his hair up.
Yeah.
So he looks like a newborn bird.
Right.
That's standing on a thing and then his face is slightly kind of more
Yeah, well, no, what you do is you put a mask on that's like in the comic that's just like, you know, there's latex masks.
Yes.
That, like, in real damn life you put on, and they look fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And you're already Willem Dafoe face.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just take it up a notch.
Yeah.
It's perfect. And then you can act with his face.
Okay,
So people don't constantly have to do the thing that was so dumb in all those movies, which is always ripping their mask off and like, what? You know, something really important. I got to tear my mask off. What are you tearing your mask off for? There's no need. You're not giving mouth to mouth. What are you doing? Stop tearing your fucking mask off.
Yeah, it seems kind of pointless.
Knock it off.
Yeah.
I don't know who I am. Because you want to act with your face.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
But no, stop that nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, what I was saying to a friend online yesterday was something I like about the Marvel movies, because is they basically are almost every Marvel character. You know, they were talking about the Guardians of the Galaxy. And
pretty good.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites, actually. I probably watched it more than any of the other Marvel ones just because it's on a lot and it's an easy watch.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they're all clearly...
It's on the movie network.
Yeah, they're all villains.
Yeah.
Who then end up doing the right thing and they flip it. But almost all the Marvel characters really would be villains in any other movie. Like, Tony Stark is a villain.
Really?
He's a war profiteer.
Yes.
You know, he builds his suit. He's like a womanizer.
Mm-hmm.
He's a real jerk. And
isn't that part of his journey to not be that?
He does
make, to a degree,
but that's the thing.
He's still
he
kind
then
of a
makes
jerk,
choices
but...
later
yeah.
that change that. But he could be Lex Luthor. He's not a million miles away from being Lex Luthor. He's a privileged rich kid.
He has hair.
Spoiled guy. Yeah, he's got hair, he's doing all that. But almost all the Marvel characters, like the Hulk, would be a villain in another movie. He's the monster that has to be destroyed.
Isn't he a villain?
What's that?
Isn't he always a villain?
No, because there's always someone worse than him. He Godzilla's it.
Yeah.
So Godzilla is a villain until Mothra shows up and does worse stuff. And now Mothra's molesting people. And it's like, okay, well, we don't want Mothra molesting people. Let's send Godzilla after him. Godzilla, you're the hero, even though Godzilla...
I see what you mean. I always think of the Incredible Hulk as a monster or a villain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, well, I don't think he is a villain. What does he do?
He breaks a lot of stuff.
He does break a lot of stuff.
And I assume that when he's smashing down buildings, people are in them. So
he also kills
people.
No, okay, all right. That's
throws cars around.
That is a nerdy discussion.
Okay.
That is a nerdy discussion. I'll tell you where I land on that one, which is it's the idea of, like, in Marvel Comics, what they do every so often is they go like, well, we got to bring the Hulk in because the Hulk has gone on a rampage and killed 30 people on his rampage.
Yeah.
But then, well, he can't join the Avengers later then because he's a mass murderer and you got to just put him in jail. So those stories don't work because if he is that, then he can't be that. So fuck off with that.
But that's what I mean. That's the problem
with
his character.
No. The other angle that I think it's like Dan Slott and some other writers have taken is this. There's enough of Banner inside of the Hulk.
Yeah.
And Banner is a genius. So when the Hulk's about to do something, Banner can tweak the Hulk just enough to not... have him kill. So when he's throwing the thing, he's not throwing it at where their people are. He takes care of business. And at the end of Hulk stories, you don't have people running out going, my father's dead. They just go, you saved us from the abomination. Thank you for saving Harlem.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. They don't all come
time
out
to
like,
rebuild.
So many deaths.
Time to rebuild.
And that's how you do it. Right?
All the buildings are gone, but thank you for stopping abomination.
But the Hulk isn't a million miles away from Doomsday in like the Superman thing. He'd be the villain. All these characters would kind of be the villains in DC movies, even though now DC heroes are all fucking horrible now. But almost every one of the Marvel characters, with the exception of maybe Captain America, but even Captain America, that trilogy, the story is really about the Winter Soldier. And there's a villain.
Yeah.
Or is he? You know, he's a guy who's constantly trying to redeem himself, but he's murdered a lot of people.
Yeah.
And he would be the villain in any other, you know, story.
Yeah.
So, you know, and even Tony Stark, he's out and out the villain in Avengers 2. He's the Dr. Frankenstein that creates the monster that almost destroys the world.
That movie.
There's some problems and there's some good things. There's some flaws and there's some. But I think that's the hook that makes the Marvel films work, because the problem with most action movies is the villain is always more interesting than the hero. You want to hear the villain because the villain's joking and having a good time. And what they've done in the Marvel movies is they've given that villainous kind of vibe to the heroes. So Tony Stark basically talks like a villain and is having a great time being Iron Man, but he's still the hero because he ends up doing the right thing. But he gets all the good villain dialogue. So the only problem then is all the villains in the Iron Man movies, who gives a shit?
Yeah,
because we've already got the wisecracker over here. So, you know, Sam Rockwell, I'm sorry, man, you're great, but we've already got this, so let's the wind out of that.
Is he great?
Sam Rockwell.
Is Sam Rockwell great?
Okay. He's fun. He does a little dance usually in his movies.
Sure.
It's always a little tiny dance, and he's pretty good at it.
He's excited in his
films.
One of those actors where you're like, oh, that guy.
Yeah. You go like, oh, what do you got to do? You got the Mandarin. Oh, what are you going to do with him? Well, we got to take a twist and do a blah, blah. All right, fine. And he got to do that because we already have a villain, but the villain is the hero. So you can't play the same things that you normally would with a villain.
It's like Galaxy Quest. You watch that movie now and you go, oh, yeah, Sam Rockwell was in the movie. This is one of those actors where, you know, you forget about him. And so you watch an old movie, you're like, oh, yeah, Sam Rockwell.
Oh, there's Alan Rickman in that. Oh, he's really chewing up the scenery. He's having a good time. That's Sigourney Weaver. I like her. That's great. Yeah, they're all still in movies. Hey, it's Tim Allen. What happened with the...
Made a lot of money. Put it back in his pants.
Yeah, now he's on TV again. And
well, I think he's a guy who made a lot of moolah in television.
Yep.
And
Home Improvement.
No need. He has no need to work.
Right. He was like the number one Every show on game. TV. And then I think he had like the Santa Claus movie. And that was like the number one movie.
Two of them.
Two of the, I know, but there was a thing he talked about once. Where, and I forget what the third thing was. But it was like he was the number one TV show.
Yeah.
He was the number one movie that week. Okay. And he was number one something else. Like it's some, like
magazine editor. At that time he was editing Forbes
for Miz,
magazine.
Yeah, Miz.
Forbes. Magazine. I thought that was. I think he's one of those guys that just does casinos. You know what I mean? Like, he just has a built-in audience.
Oh, I thought you meant loses all his money in
casinos.
Loses
all his money in casinos.
And then has to come back and do more
stuff. It's that lottery thought, people.
Like, I haven't watched his new show, but I assume it's all the people saying, let's do stuff, and him being, men don't do that, and him having...
Still?
I think so. Mm. Which is also, it seems like Man with a Plan, the Matt LeBlanc thing. It's just like, he's the manly man, which is also The Great Indoors, which is Joel McHale. He's the manly man who's doing the thing, and everyone else has a whimp around him, which I think is also Kevin Can Wait, which is he's the manly man who's the cop, and the wife wants him to go to the opera, and he doesn't want to go to the opera, and he wants to hang around with his guys. And we're still doing these sitcoms. And they're still all there.
I can proudly say I have not seen any of those.
I like Joel McHale, and so I wanted to give The Great Indoors a chance because I also like Stephen Fry, and I'm like you watch the pilot and just go, well, that's a perfect pilot. You just did all the things you do. Can't give a shit. No one can. It's so sterile because it's just so formula. You know, baby formula is less formula. Formula One racers are less formula.
What else?
What's that?
What else? Mission formula is less formula.
There you go.
Okay.
And by the way, Dave.
Yes.
10 minutes for looking so good.
Oh, thank you. What were we talking about? Oh, Sam Rockwell. Yes, I have nothing left to say about him. I've been watching a lot of movies lately, though.
Okay.
I've been on a movie rampage. Okay. I've watched some good films, too.
All right. Hit me with them.
And some snow.
I thought you were going to say, and some snuff films.
And some snuff films. But
you know what the problem with those films is?
Mm.
No matter how well they do, you can't get a sequel.
Yes, you can.
Unless there's a twin.
Weekend at Bernie's?
Oh, that's true.
There you go.
Man, you know someone pitched that and just were like, look, I know we can't do this. I know we can't. Logistically, there's no way we can do this.
Yes.
But Weekend at Bernie's 2. Yeah, okay. Really? Okay. All right, let's do it.
Yeah. Weekend at Bernie's and then the...
Not since Crank 2.
Yeah.
Have, what? There's no way that you can't... He clearly...
Yeah.
There's no way.
How can his body take it again?
Yeah. You might as well say Citizen Kane 2.
Mm. That's good. This time it's personal. One of the films I watched is a really interesting horror film. And I would say horror film in quotation marks because if you don't like horror films because they're scary... This movie is not scary.
Okay.
It is the least scary horror film you will ever see, besides Ernst's Halloween one.
Okay.
I don't know what that one's called. Or Halloween Town. Or any of those.
I can actually tell you what the name of that
movie is. Okay, what is it? What is it?
That's Ernest.
Yes.
Scared Stupid.
Ah, there you go. Actually, you know what? I'm going to say that film has a couple of scary moments in it, scarier than House. This is the movie that I saw. It's a film called House, made in 1977. It's a Japanese film. It's an interesting story to this movie because what happened was it was a studio called Toho, which I believe did the Godzilla films.
That sounds about right.
And
who is the hero of his own movies?
His hero of his own movies, but no one else's. Although the best thing he does is when he goes forward, sliding on his tail. It makes no sense. It makes no sense in any kind of you know, like
it
he has a
like
really slippery
looks like
tail.
He's holding his wang.
Yeah. It's very odd.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was so Jaws was a big hit. And so Toho Studio said, you know what? We need our own Jaws. And so they said to one of the writers, he said, we know what we need. We need one of our own Jaws. And he said, I've got the movie for you. that I wrote with my daughter,
okay,
who's 6 years old.
Right.
It's called House.
Okay.
And they gave him the script and they said, what the fuck is this? And they put it in a drawer.
Now, is there a shark in the house?
There is no shark in the house. There is no shark around the house. Too shark for comfort. It was.
By the way, guys, sharks are public domain. If you want to make your own Jaws,
yeah,
knock yourself out. There's nothing in Jaws you're not allowed to do. Sharks eating people?
Yeah.
Do it.
Can you use the name Jaws, though? I don't think so.
You could talk about his jaws.
Yeah, you could
talk about his jaws. Because jaws are actually. And the shark's name is not Jaws.
Yeah.
It's not like, hey, there's Jaws. No, it's just a shark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Call it the shark Charles, but have it pronounced by people from Boston.
What was the name of the shark actually? Was it Bruce?
Yes.
I think the name was Bruce.
Yes, because it reminded someone of their agent.
So just call him Bruce. They won't know. You'll go, like, good for you. Okay, but please continue.
So,
is there a house involved, by the way, in this?
There is a house involved in House.
Okay. And I'm sorry, I got to ask one more question real quick.
Sure.
So what year did the American movie House come out?
That was in the, I think it's an 80s film, like in the 82?
Very early 80s.
1982, I believe.
Right. My old boss, Bill Morrison at Bongo Comics, he did the poster for House, the original House.
For the American.
The gory hand poking the doorbell.
Oh, okay.
For the North American version of House.
Ah.
Yeah, he did that poster.
But that for the 1977, the Japanese one?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying the American version of House with the William Catt, Richard Mall version.
Okay, because the poster for House, the Japanese one, is fantastic. It's a great image.
What is it?
It's like a kind of a cat face, but like a squarish-shaped cat face with a big smiley, fangy face.
Wow. I guess we've all just found out what our title card is going to be this week, huh? Okay.
And here's the thing. When you watch this film, you go, oh, Sam Raimi saw this movie. And then made Evil Dead 2.
Oh, Evil Dead 2. Because when did he make Evil Dead? Just the Evil
79,
Dead?
I think, was.
Oh, okay. All right.
And he may have seen it before that. Okay. But it didn't influence him as much as the kind of craziness that he brought to Evil Dead 2. Because this movie is literally insane. It makes absolutely no sense.
Okay, that sounds scary.
But it's so weird. Like, okay.
Take us through it.
I'll say a little bit about it. I don't want to say, okay, there's two girls. It starts with two girls. One's name is Glamorous, I believe her name is. And the other girl's name, Gorgeous.
Which, or a Japanese word that translates loosely into gorgeous,
gorgeous.
In English.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, her Japanese name is Gorgeous.
Oh, so when they're speaking, you actually hear the word gorgeous.
No, but I mean, that's her name. Like, I know it's a Japanese word, but the name isn't like, it's not like the Japanese sounded like gorgeous.
No, I hear what you're saying. Okay.
Her friend, Fantasy.
Okay.
And it starts off, they're taking pictures in the school or something like that, and they're taking, like, black and white pictures. And then, you know, the camera pulls back and reveals, oh, it's just, like, this sort of weird moment. It's just the kids playing around in their school room taking pictures. Okay. And they go out in the hallway, and they meet a teacher, female teacher. And she tells, you know, and so they have this weird conversation. And the tone is always weird. Mm-hmm. It's always, like, too much. Like, too much. Tone it down, please. But no. Take it up, is what the director said. I want more. And so it has these girls, they're like talking with their teacher and they're like giggling she's going to be married. And they're all like, oh, you're marrying for love because because that's who we know how you are and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, actually, it's an arranged marriage. So I don't know why this scene anyway. And she tells the girls to go off. And then it has this weird, you know, kind of zooms up to this teacher's face. And then she goes, summertime, you know, something weird or summer vacation or something like that, you know. And then it cuts these girls like running down the stairs in slow motion, gorgeous, fancy, you know, and their voices.
Sure,
and it's just like,
yeah.
And you're like, what kind of weird tone? And then the girl goes home and her dad, she comes into I assume it's an apartment, and she comes in and her dad is standing on the patio of this apartment building.
Okay.
And you can see in the back this sunlit sky that's just like clearly a backdrop, like no way to hide it.
Sure.
It's just, that's what it is. And you know what? We love this backdrop. Every scene we film, whether it's in the past or in the present, is going to have the same backdrop.
Okay.
And they film everything from behind this glass, this beveled glass. So the characters' faces are kind of broken up by this glass.
Okay.
And she's introduced.
Sounds scary so far.
It's weird. And then Gorgeous is introduced to her, this woman who's going to be her stepmom.
Huh.
Well, she doesn't like that idea at all. She is so upset.
But is her dad marrying for love?
Apparently, her dad has been in Italy working on musical scores. He's a composer.
Oh.
Director.
By the end of this, he'll be a decomposer.
The director said he's better than Morricone.
Well, fuck him then. That's bullshit.
That's what I thought.
All right, go ahead.
But so then this girl goes to her room and she's really mad. And I guess it's kind of done in a flashback. So I'm going to assume at this point she writes to her aunt, Her mom is dead, by the way. That's why she's her okay. saying. She writes to her
mysterious
aunt.
Mysterious circumstances with the death of the mom?
I don't think so.
All
I think
right, very good.
She writes to her aunt and says she wants to come and visit. They haven't seen each other for years, like since she was a little girl. And so I guess the aunt writes back and says, come on over. We find out that the plans for, I mean, then we meet her friends. She has like a group of friends. They're just sitting like in a row on a bench, basically. And they're all named after their personality. Okay. So there's Melody.
Right.
She likes music.
Okay.
There's Kung Fu. She's athletic.
Wait a second. I'm trying to think now if this is just alphabetical. Because like we had Gorgeous and Harmony.
Fantasy.
Fantasy. So yeah. F, G. And then we had what?
Melody.
We're way down the line then. Sorry about
we
that.
We have Mac. Kung Fu K. We have two M's though. Because we have.
Oh, fuck it then. All right. My pattern is gone.
We have
all
Mac
right.
who likes to eat. There's another girl whose name, I can't remember her name. Is she likes to like, she's very helpful.
Are there seven of them? Are they dwarves? Are they all named after their personalities?
I think
there
might be seven, but yeah. So there's all these girls, and then it's just one pileup of like weirdness after another. Like when they get to the house.
Oh wait, so why are they at the house? Why'd they get to the house?
Oh, because their vacation plans are canceled. And so they decide to go.
Because of Godzilla.
Because of Godzilla.
They did a tie-in.
They did a tie-in.
They own Godzilla.
It's Toho.
Yeah, if you own Godzilla, you're going to use Godzilla. He'll do cameos.
So their vacation plans are canceled.
Now picturing Weekend at Godzilla's with like a dead Godzilla. And they got to pretend Godzilla's still alive. They're just using sticks. Please continue.
There's a great moment. Because Fantasy's in love with his teacher. And I can't remember his name. But she's madly in love with his teacher. He doesn't know it, of course. But okay. She has this crush on this teacher that she's being teased about. And so this teacher pulls up. It's like the goofiest, like least healthy looking guy you've ever seen in your life.
Sure.
Driving in a dune buggy.
Right.
And that, so he's like the romantic interest or hero
right.
part of the film?
Because they know the people watching this.
Yeah.
And they it looks like the audience.
Yeah.
So you want your audience member to look like the people everyone's going, yeah. So handsome.
I guess.
Right. So they're like, oh, he is very handsome. He looks like me. I like this movie. Girls like him. I'm all on board. Continue movie.
I suppose so.
Yeah.
And so he comes to tell him that his sister has some problem at her place where they were all going to go to. And so those plans are canceled.
Oh.
This teacher was inappropriately going to be going with these six girls.
On vacation.
To his sister's health camp or whatever it was. That movie doesn't happen. Too bad. We get house instead. And so they're all going to go with Gorgeous to her aunt's house.
Okay.
And so, and this teacher was supposed to go with them still. But in a moment of hilarity, he fell down the stairs and got his bum stuck in a bucket.
Okay.
And couldn't go on the trip right away. So they have to go on their own.
Wait, why can't he get the bucket off his butt?
I don't know.
Wait, really don't did know. They see this happen?
We see it happen.
So is he stuck in a bucket through the whole movie?
No, he gets out of it.
Okay. Because I'm going like, it's terrible. But if you were trapped in, say, a house,
yes. right,
like him, he's fallen to the bottom of the stairs.
Yeah.
He's got his ass stuck in a bucket.
Mm-hmm.
At least if you have to go to the bathroom,
yeah.
you got a bucket.
Okay.
You know, so when they find you, it's terrible, but it's not the worst.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree. So yeah, I don't want to give away too much because I really enjoyed the film and I highly encourage people to go see it. I'm just going to give away one sequence
okay.
near the end of the film that will kind of tell you what the film is like. So when the girls arrive in the neighborhood of the house, they meet a fruit seller who directs them to the house.
A seller of fruit.
A seller
not
of fruit.
Not a fruit seller that's sentient that is underneath the house. And the
yeah,
fruit
no,
seller
no
doesn't
fruit
just
seller.
Flap open with the doors and go, that's hello, I'm the fruit seller. Come down inside me. I'm not falling for this fruit seller.
You got me. I should have been more clear. A fruit vendor.
Right. And, but you know
tells
what?
The girls.
When Sam Raimi heard fruit seller,
mm-hmm.
he went, aha,
aha.
I'm going to use a fruit seller in Evil Dead.
A root seller.
Okay.
He just took off the FR. This guy is sort of a big fellow.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, ho ho hardy fellow, you want to go this way. So then they go to the house and the things happen there. So then this teacher finally arrives in his dune buggy.
Right.
Comes up to this.
I'm assuming this
vendor.
Guy is a sentient pumpkin. We're going to learn that soon.
Fruit vendor. The fruit vendor sees him and the guy's like, I'm looking for this, you know, I'm looking for this house. And then this guy goes, he kind of like almost kind of hops on his feet like a big ape or whatever. And he goes, ha, 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 you can't go to the mansion. You cannot see it. Ha, 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 ha. And then somehow something comes out about, well, I guess I'll just go bananas, says the teacher. And he hops into the Jeep, and then that's the end of the scene. You're like, what did I just see? Why was I looking at that? But later on, someone else drives past this scene, and you see the teacher's dune buggy, and there's just a bunch of bananas in it.
So he turned into a banana?
He turned into a bunch of bananas. I don't know why.
Well,
all I can say
all
is
those girls thought that he had a peel.
yes, he also had a split.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are we good then?
I think we can stop there.
Potassium. Potat don't.
It's very odd. I mean, it has a lot of the feel of a 6-year-old daughter.
He got fired from his job, by the way, that teacher. Did you hear about that, Dave? Wait. That teacher got changed into a bunch of bananas?
Yeah.
He got fired from his job?
Yeah.
Now he's on the dole.
Thanks a bunch. It's a crazy film, but it's worth watching just for the craziness. And like I say, when you watch it, there's many scenes in it where you're like, oh, Sam Raimi saw this film and decided, yes, Walls should shoot huge copious amounts of blood out of them in a spray. Yeah. It's very interesting.
I think I've seen something from it involving a piano.
There is a piano. There is a piano. And I don't want to give away stuff.
Right.
You can watch the trailer, but it does kind of give away some interesting things that happen in the film. But
and how did you see this film?
It was on TCM. TCM have been doing through Halloween, they play a lot of horror films.
Okay.
And I pretty much avoided almost all of them because...
You're a scaredy pants.
No, I don't. It's just after a while. I'm not a huge Dracula fan.
Mm.
And there's like, they're playing...
I am a scaredy pants, so...
Oh, okay. I don't really get that scared of horror films. So when I say like House isn't that scary, I have no idea if it really is scary or not because I don't actually like get really scared at movies. But I'm not really that interested in Dracula. And they had nights and nights of like Hammer Dracula films. The only one I really like is Dracula 1972.
Okay.
With Johnny Alucard.
Don't know it.
What a disguise. Alucard? No one gets that, right? Johnny Alucard? It has a great the reason I like it is because there's a scene where a woman is being sacrificed and she's really good looking. So the reason I like it. Anyway, we won't talk about my teenage years.
I remember the first time I watched that, I think it was a Hammer film. It was the one where, well, maybe they do this in other films too, but it's The Brides of Dracula. And again, they're super sexy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, this is good stuff.
60
and
sexy.
Dracula's doing his business and like, oh, super sexy. And then they grab a baby and they eat it.
Mm.
And I'm like, fuck this movie. I don't want to see anyone eating a baby.
But I mean, they do
Why
that
do
in,
you want to see that?
They do that in Dracula as well.
What, the Francis Ford Coppola's?
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's bullshit too. I just like, who wants that in your movie?
And in Nosferatu, right?
Maybe. Who cares though? Who wants that? Mm. Here's what you want with a Dracula movie. You want someone going and like seductively seducing and you want like fighting with the vampire. Yeah. You don't want to like, oh, you ate a baby.
But
who
you
wants
want
to see that?
Yeah, but you want evil as well. I mean, you have to know that
Why
he's evil.
Why are you eating a baby?
It's but like, he's evil.
But it's the dumbest. It's the dumbest.
It's not dumb.
It's like, you're the daughters of Dracula, right? Or the wives of Dracula, whatever you are. And it's like.
That is the freshest blood. That is like the best blood. It's the most innocent blood you can drink. Mm-hmm. It's the tastiest blood. It's like he gave them like our version of something that we like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like caviar.
It just seems repulsive
to me.
It's not a good full meal. Like just go get a 5-year-old. How evil are
it
they?
It goes a long way. You know, it's like if you went to a French restaurant and you had like a plate the size of, you know, size of a charger, like a size of a big round serving tray. And then they just give you like that tiny little bit on it with a slice of something kind of limply over the top of it.
Yeah.
But then you taste it and it's fantastic. You can't believe how good it is.
And that is loosely based on the baby.
That meal is the same as that baby for those vampires.
So this is like an amuse-bouche.
It's not an amuse-bouche. It is the full, real meal.
No. Well, that's what you just told me.
No, I'm not talking about an amuse-bouche. I'm talking about your entree comes, and that's all it is.
And that's all it is?
It's all it is. It's a small bit on your thing.
You're going to go to McDonald's
afterwards. That's what they do.
And what's the equivalent of McDonald's then? Go eat some peasants?
Yes.
Going to fill up on peasants afterwards?
That's exactly right.
Boo.
Harlots, that would be the equivalent of McDonald's.
Because, you know,
they're stained.
Well,
they're
the thing with
anymore.
A good Dracula movie is you want to at some point...
You want a wimpy film with no scares.
You want to at some point go... Maybe Dracula's not so bad.
Yeah.
Like at some point, you're like, it's a legit choice for the woman of like, maybe she should join the Dracula squad.
Yeah.
This is okay. But once you've eaten a baby, well, go fuck yourselves. Then it's, forget it. It's all over. It's the problem with the Twilight movie where they have like, they eat all the tourists and it's just like, well, now you're all fucking evil and there's no...
Well, those guys are evil.
I know, but there's no...
But her letting it happen is the evil.
Is the evil bit. That's right.
Yeah.
Now there's no ambiguity. Screw it. It's not maybe. Well, I don't know. Done. You know who could...
Yeah, but you're not supposed to be a fan of Dracula. I don't know if you realize that. Dracula is not the hero of the story.
No, but you need with Dracula... It's like the Frankenstein monster. It's like...
It's different.
I know, but you're watching the Frankenstein monster and you're going like, oh no. And then you go like, oh, The guy's not. He's liking the little girl. He doesn't know. You don't throw the little girl.
No, anymore. No, that's a different character. Dracula is evil. He's not dumb. He's not like right. not understanding.
He's evil, but he has to be seductively evil.
No, he can be brutal and seductive at the same time.
Well, that sounds dull. It sounds dull if he's just
Why is it dull?
It's because he's just like full on evil. He's just taken up too many notches then.
And he's not really evil. He's just amoral. He doesn't care about humans. That humans aren't.
He was a human once upon a time.
Yes, he was, but not anymore. He doesn't care.
It just takes it too far with the baby thing. Oh, okay, let me ask you this. So say the thing.
Okay.
So you got a Dracula movie.
You know what takes it too far with the baby thing? Train spotting. That goes too far with the baby thing.
Parents feel that way. People who aren't parents don't. That's the way it.
Well, I don't understand your concern about a baby then in a Dracula movie.
Well, I don't want it eaten. Like I feel.
You're okay with the baby being allowed to like through neglect dying of.
As opposed
malnutrition
to being
or starvation
eaten by three demons,
well,
yes.
That's a quick way to
it's
go.
It's bad. Well, this baby seems fine. He's crawling on the ceiling. He's having a good
time. He's dead. He's a that's just a dream. The real baby.
Is he?
The real baby was like not fed and then died.
You know what? Trainspotting 2 is coming up. Let's see if it's a Weekend at Bernie's situation with the baby. And then we find
I will not be
they put
to
little
see.
They put little glasses on the baby.
Well, if they do
they
that.
They take the baby out and the baby's partying.
If they do that, I might go see it.
You didn't like Trainspotting.
I liked it up to that moment in the film. And then, like you say, once that happens...
A friend of mine felt the same way. Yeah. Just completely lost.
Because you no longer have any... Yeah, you no longer have an emotional investment in any of the characters.
Yeah.
Because they allow this horrible thing to happen. And I know that's the point of the film, is that like that's your second act nadir, lowest point of the story. And it's part of what makes... the hero in quotation marks. What's the actor's name?
I don't know.
What's that actor's
name?
Ewan McGregor's character.
Right. But I'm trying to think of the characters like Sick Boy. There's Happy
Spud.
Jim. There's Spud. Flippo. Bouncing Boy. I may be thinking of the Legion of Superheroes now. Sun Boy. Colossal Boy.
Sure. Yeah. They're
Shadow
all.
Shadowlass.
They're all there.
Are these all in Trainspotting?
They're all in Trainspotting.
Am I getting this
right? Shadowlass is the one that dies from the cat, right? The cat. No, Colossal Boy. Sorry, Colossal Boy.
I think that's Shrinking Violet.
Shrinking Violet.
or Saturn Girl.
Dies from that disease you get from cats.
Meow mix.
No, that's not a disease.
Cat scratch fever.
That is a disease. That's true.
Being pussy whipped.
Is that a disease? Okay. The other film that I saw is another Toho movie. I don't know what TCM's got these great films from Toho. Maybe they got a hold of their catalog. But in this film, when you watch this movie, you go, oh, Quentin Tarantino really liked this film.
Okay.
It's a film called Lady Snowblood. And it's basically...
Tarantino would not, like, borrow from films that he liked. How dare you
say such a thing,
okay,
sir.
Go ahead. All right.
And this film is... it's one of those interesting movies. It's kind of like the Samurai trilogy.
Okay.
Where you're watching the film, and it's, like, samurais doing samurai stuff. And then suddenly there's a train. And you're like, when is this movie taking place?
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was, like, in the 1500s. It's happening in the Victorian era?
Wait, okay, what's the name of the movie again?
Samurai Trilogy. Well, it's Samurai 1, 2, and 3.
Okay, all right. This isn't the one with the guy who's like kneeling and telling the story to a guy and it's all flashing back. Is this the movie I'm thinking about?
I don't know.
Because I watched a samurai movie that was very
Is it in color?
No, black and white.
Oh, samurai's in color.
All right.
Yeah, it sounds more like a Kurosawa film.
It does, but it's not.
Okay.
But it's really good.
Okay.
Ooh, it's good.
Okay.
So good.
Yeah, there are a lot of good films from
Man, you get a lot of mileage out of samurais. You would think, like, there's not a lot to do with those top-knotted guys, but boy howdy.
There's a lot. Yeah, this film is similar. It takes place, it starts in story time, it starts in 1873.
Okay.
So it is taking place in the Victorian era, but it's still, there are some people who dress in suits. As if they were like Victorian dandies.
Okay.
But there's still people, mostly women, who are wearing like the full outfit.
Yeah.
Like
is this also the time of Dracula?
Is it?
I'm asking, when does Dracula take place?
Is it? I think it's a little later, isn't it? Bram Stoker, when did Bram Stoker write Dracula? I don't really know, actually.
Okay. We don't know. We'll find out later.
I'm no expert on Dracula.
Please continue with your movie.
And in this story, this woman's giving birth to it in prison. And we learn why this woman's there. But she gives birth to this baby who she's hoping will be a man, will be a boy, but it turns out it's a girl. And then this girl is an asura, is a demon of vengeance. And she is trained, and it's like a training sequence, not exactly like, but kind of like the sequence in Kill Bill.
Okay.
You know, with a really harsh master who's, you know, super talent, you know, and it's super hard and mean, and, you know, and it makes her do all these horrible things. And then
I always wanted, by the way, I always want to see, sorry to interrupt, yep, but that's what we do on this damn show. I always want to see one where like you have like the Kill Bill and the really hard master, mm-hmm, he's hitting with the sticks and all this kind of stuff, also super mean. And then at one point, like the girl just like walks off and meets another girl from like the dojo next door.
Yeah.
And it's like, what do? He did that. Oh, you fucking lucky. Mine has a flamethrower and shit. You think, yeah, it's great. You easy peasy.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
We have like six of them. It'll be like the six Yorkshiremen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Luxury.
Luxury. Okay, so then, and this film is, speaking of Monty Python, this film uses a lot of the Black Knight effects for, you know, like, so as soon as a sword hits anyone, they're like a fountain is coming out of them of blood, is pouring everywhere. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. It's a good film. It's, I quite enjoyed that one. I'll recommend Lady Snowblood, which is not only a good film, but a fantastically great title for a film.
Lady Snowblood is a good
title. It's a great title, yeah.
I would say let's put up links to those on our Sneaky
I'll put some. Yeah, I'll link to the trailers because those two films were really great. The one other film that I watched for Halloween was a Christopher Lee film, actually the first film that he produced through his production company. I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of it, but it was sort of an interesting film. It has elements of The Wicker Man in it, in that it takes place, part of the film takes place in a Scottish island where there is an orphanage and with some creepy goings on there. And then it also has some stuff in London. And it's interesting because it's interesting in a couple of ways. One thing I thought was interesting about it is that everything is so ugly. The 1970s, I don't know, what were people thinking then? Like everything is like, I don't know, kind of like, feels sort of too gritty, like too, I don't know, something about it. That's...
Well, it feels in North America, at least the early part of the 70s when I watched movies.
Yeah.
Everyone just went, we all good with beige, 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 brown, beige, beige, brown. How about yellow? Shut up. No, more brown, yellow.
Yeah.
Brown, yellow, beige. They just went like, we've had enough color in the 60s. Screw it. We're just going
partly that,
sepia,
I guess.
Tone. Partly everyone's that. Sepia tone.
Mm-hmm. Partly that, and I guess... Yeah, well, in England, I mean, there just wasn't any money, so people you had what you had.
You had beige.
You had beige, and the buildings that were from the Victorian era, you used them. That's where the hospital was, because that was where the hospital was 100 years ago.
Yeah, makes sense.
So you're still there, and you're still in this. But then even the people's hair, like the guy's hair is like, all their hair is like slightly too big.
Yeah.
It's like sticking off their head about 3 inches, and then they've got these really terrible sideburns. Everyone.
Yep.
It doesn't matter what your job was. You're going to have some dumb sideburns.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a doctor. And you're like, I don't think it's safe you with your 3-inch high hair and your sideburns, like leaning over me during an operation. No, don't like it. Go clean yourself up. Clean yourself up, sir.
Do you think when people grew those sideburns, they grew the beard and then shaved it and kept the sideburns? Or do you think they just did the slow grow in of the sideburns? Because that's weird to just have a slow growing in
the
sideburns.
Yeah, that's what they did, though. Yeah.
Ugh.
Weird. Because suddenly sideburns were cool. But I mean, when
I like suddenly
when
sideburns.
Hippies,
yeah.
When hippies grew sideburns, I mean, they had long hair.
Yeah.
And so you couldn't see the sideburn action, right? It just suddenly was there. Like, so as the 60s went on, like, so like, let's pretend you're Marty Ballin.
All right.
Jefferson Airplane.
Okay.
And you got pretty long hair in 1965, let's say.
Right.
By 66, time for surrealistic pillow, your hair is like, now it's kind of getting close to your shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And then 67, it's like now down to your shoulders.
Right.
And then suddenly sideburns are cool. So you're growing in sideburns, but no one can tell because you got this long hair. So right. It's not until you're like, you know, when you're singing and you know, the wind blows or whatever, or you sweep your hair back and then you reveal these big giant sideburns, or as they're called in England, sideboards.
Hmm. No, not as good.
And then there's this woman in the film, and I was curious. We were watching and I said, why is her hair so high? Like, what does she do? Like, there's no bump it in those days. So what has she got? And then the girl said, well, she's just backcombed her hair. So it was like a big rat's nest underneath this kind of smooth veneer.
Oh.
And I was like, well, what kind of style is that? Like the get up and go style? Like, oh, my hair's a mess, but I'll just carefully comb over the top part of it.
Too much work.
It does sound like a lot of work. And then...
I say, wake up in the morning, get really scared, have your hair go up, keep it that way. Stay scared all day.
And it's an interesting thing. Like when you watch like British television shows or British films, it always makes me happy when the actors they're not like, they're cute or they're pretty, but they're never like glamorously beautiful.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like you don't watch a British show and you go, I can't believe this actress is so gorgeous. Often you watch it and you go, I can't believe this actress is in her 50s. You're like, that would never happen in North America because, you know, 50 years old, you're in the trash heap. It's time for a 20-year-old to be a police officer.
Yeah, you don't need all that handsome in a movie because you got it in the mirror every day. You're full up.
What, in England?
You. I'm just saying when you're watching something.
Oh, okay. So I'm
paying you a compliment.
You prefer.
No, I'm paying you a compliment. Oh, I'm saying you get the handsome in the mirror every day. So when you're watching your entertainment, you want to see some average Joes. You're like, ugh, more handsome. I get that all the time.
Well, thank you.
When I shave.
Thanks very much.
I wonder if I should grow in these sideburns.
I used to have sideburns back when I had long hair. I grew them in with the long
hair. Wait, were you in Jefferson Airplane? Was that your own story about you?
Jefferson Airplane?
Yeah,
that's right. It was an analogy for me.
I really want to see where they're going to go next with the airplane starship. What do you got for me next? Jefferson TARDIS? What do you got?
I think what they have for you next is retirement. Mm-hmm. I don't think Grace Slick is doing very much anymore.
Well, I mean, she built that city.
She built it on rock and roll.
Right. So once you built it, what are you going to do? Yeah.
Yes. And also, when every original member of the band is long gone,
right,
you're just a limping...
And here's the thing. Rock and roll was a slang term for sex. So you built that city on fucking.
Well, it sounds good to me. Steve Ditko may not approve, but I like it.
I don't think he was a prude. Do you think Steve Ditko was a prude?
I think there's a bit of prudishness or prudery in something like objectivism.
All right.
You don't think so?
I'll need to see your work on that subject.
Well, because, I think...
He drew pretty girls. Flirting with Peter Parker and such.
Yeah, but it's chaste.
Klee is very sexy in Doctor Strange.
Yeah, yeah. Sexy's okay.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, there's a difference between sexy and sex.
What would, why would objective, it seems like for objective, we've gone back to this now. objectivism is like the whole idea again. I feel it's I want all the stuff. I want money. I want credit. I want all the stuff. I can't see a person who's in that mindset going, but no sex for me, please. It seems like you want sex. In fact, you think I've earned this sex because I should be. Make love to me because I'm the best guy.
She did
here.
Feel that way. She
I am the alpha. Yep. You should. Yeah. And you're lucky to be. And I'm not going to give you any affection back. Or get your own. But
Ayn Rand was very promiscuous, but that was not.
She was Ayn Randy.
But she's very Randy. But she was not. She wasn't talked about with her followers. So.
Yeah, it just seems like that goes without saying that the jerks in college who think it's a good idea wouldn't be going, but no girls for me, thanks, or no fellas for me, thanks. They'd be like, yeah, of course I'm going to. That comes along with the whole situation.
Yeah. Yes. I don't. I just think that I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Steve Ditko, though. I think Steve Ditko is sort of.
I don't know.
Is a bit of
I would have
prude.
To see some evidence for that. Evidence, okay, but back to your movie, Ruby.
What was I talking about? Oh, this island.
Star Wars.
This Star Wars. And so when the spaceship crashes on the. So when. I remember. Is the spaceship crash or is this making that up? Was Empire Strikes Back.
I think you're thinking Empire of the Sun.
That's what I'm thinking. So I was just going to say, yeah, there's kind of a romantic interlude between a doctor and a journalist. Neither of them are attractive. So it's just kind of uncomfortable. It's watching your parents, It's just no, it's good. I'm good. Move it on. Move the movie along, please. thank you for the blackout there. But what was it? The other interesting thing about the film was they go to Scotland.
Okay.
And they meet up with
Loch Ness Monster.
Michael Gambon.
Oh,
1972
nice.
Michael Gambon.
All right.
Which was interesting to me because he was an actor who I didn't even knew existed as a human until The Singing Detective in the mid-80s.
Sure.
And to me, that was the first job he got was The Singing Detective. Because it felt
a big job to get your
watched,
first job.
I watched a lot of British television when I was growing up. I watched.
Don't you assume, though, when you see anyone who's British, that they were in theater for 20 years before they came
maybe,
into it?
Maybe. But here's the thing. If you watch Doctor Who and Masterpiece Theater, you will see every fucking British actor that is acting at that time in those shows.
Those shows are the Law and Order of England.
That's the thing. Everyone. You will see them in a Doctor Who, and then you will see them later on. You want that Doc Martin? He's in Doctor Who?
Yeah.
Peter Davidson time. Or Davison. Peter Davison?
Davidson, I think.
Whatever. That guy. Fifth Doctor.
He said, call me Peter. So
did he? He didn't have to know?
Everyone was calling him Peter, so I called him Peter.
Okay.
He didn't say, call me Peter.
Sure.
He was very nice.
But you know what I mean, right? Yeah. Through all those, you should know everybody. When you watch iClaudius, then you're like, oh, there's Patrick Stewart. I'm going to see him later on in Star Trek Next Generation.
Right. He'll have shaved his back by then.
Is his back hairy?
He's got the hairy shoulders leading to the back. Mm. And you go that's a lot of business. Then later in Star Trek, they take care of it because it's the future. And they deal with that.
They worry about that stuff?
I think so.
They have a lot of spare time in the future.
No one's got a hairy back in Star Trek.
That's too bad.
In fact, Captain Kirk is insanely smooth.
Mm. I don't like it.
Some say he's bald. I say the curtains match the... I don't know. Shuttle deck.
The curtains match the Brillo pad.
Sure.
The... yeah, so the Michael Gambon in that show.
Yeah.
And maybe that show was like a show of like actors that you never would see again.
Because, so when you saw him in this movie, did you go, Michael Gambon?
Well, no, I didn't see Michael Gambon when I saw him, or in the movie.
Yeah, movie, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's Michael Gambon.
Right.
He had like a little mustache.
You stood up, sent the cat flying across the room.
I did. I said,
on your lap.
I said excitedly to my daughter.
Yeah.
That's Michael Gambon. They're like, shrug. Dumbledore. That is Dumbledore. And then they're like, I don't see it.
I double dare you.
It's just
what curious. They should have said every time they broke into Dumbledore's. I double dare you to break into his office every time.
I double dare you?
Yep.
Yeah. It was just, well, The Singing Detective was a great film, or a great show. But so when I saw that, of course, I was just like, well, this guy's a super great actor. I'm going to be seeing him from now on. Nope.
And you didn't see him after?
Not for a long time.
Oh, okay.
Like, what else is he in after Singing Detective?
British things, but we didn't get a lot of it. Like, you just got, like, the slim pickings.
I guess.
Nowadays, we have the Netflix, and it's like every British thing.
Yeah.
Every British cop show in the world.
Too much.
Which is, well, you know what? You'd think it was too much if you weren't my mother-in-law, in which case she's very, very happy. But it's like, it's all, you know, ooh, she's a grumpy one, and she's a grumpy cop.
Yeah.
She's grumpy, and she solves mysteries, but she's grumpy.
Okay, when your mother-in-law watches those shows, does she turn on the subtitles?
No, but I don't think it totally matters. She gets the gist.
Oh, okay.
I think she just gets the idea.
Because there's that one Happy Valley.
Yeah.
I cannot understand what anyone's saying.
I don't think it matters. I think the thing is, you turn it up loud enough that everyone stops talking to you, and she gets some peace and quiet in the house.
I feel like it should matter, what people are saying.
So my grandfather-in-law with his communist manifesto comes in, and he knows it's not time to, like, present his theories.
Yeah, because it's too loud.
Because the TV's on. Yeah. And he goes, hey, yeah, I can't hear you. TV's on. Okay.
Trotsky, that's right.
Yeah. That's Chomsky
once. I said Trotsky.
Yeah. Leave Chomsky.
I could have said Chomsky as well.
Yeah, Noam Chomsky. I think Noam Chomsky spends most of his time going, leave me out of this. Leave me
Is
out
that
of
what
this.
He says?
Yeah. I think Chomsky would say, no, I wouldn't. Leave me out of this. I'll tell you what
really?
I say.
Really?
Yeah.
Because he's so unwilling to state his opinion.
Oh, he states his opinion, but I think then people project opinions on.
Okay.
Everyone thinks Chomsky would agree with them. Since he's still alive, he can go, no, not at all.
He just goes wrong.
No, that's right. I like Ditko's early work. I'm more of a Kirby man myself, frankly.
Oh, wow.
It's like, I like a Gil Kane.
When we were talking a couple weeks ago about Gil Kane's pretty good, by the way.
Yep. Master of the up the nose shot.
Yes. But that's not an easy thing to draw.
No.
That's why he did it so much. He's like, look what I can do.
Yep.
You know what's interesting? When we were talking a little, when Pia and Heather were on the show, and we were talking about the 22 panels that always work or whatever,
right.
That's the Wally Wood thing. And I linked...
Heather, by the way, was the one who brought up Guardians of the Galaxy on Facebook.
That
kind of triggered that whole
and
thing.
And she liked it?
She was just mild feelings towards it.
Oh, interesting.
Not super impressed by it. Didn't totally do it for her. But then very open to discussing it on her page.
Sounds like a bit of a snob.
What?
What?
How dare...
Who
no,
said that?
Was
I was talking about something
no,
different.
She
I was talking
not,
about something different.
Not at all. It's very open to...
Talking about a different thing.
She is the opposite of snob. I can't think of anyone who is less snob than her.
Hmm. So then when...
except me.
You're less of a snob?
That's right. I am probably the best less of a snob person you've ever met.
You seem to be a bit of a baby-eating snob. Anyway, what was I talking about? So it was talking about the fact that Wally Wood drew for Mad Magazine.
Okay. Super Duper
Man. At that time. Did many things. Even in the 60s, he was still drawing for Mad.
Right.
He left them to go to Marvel. He was making $150 a page working for Mad.
And that's good bucks.
Good money for that time.
Yeah.
Went to $40 a page when he moved to Marvel.
Right.
And that was giving him their best rate. Like, they gave him, like, you know, well, you're a big star, so we're going to give you as much as we can.
Okay, but how were...
Started drawing Daredevil.
Yeah. Well, the difference, though, in sales of the books, like, I can't see Daredevil selling...
But you didn't... You did not get percentages at that time.
No, I think it's... Though, Marvel, you know, how much is an issue of Daredevil selling? How much is an issue of Mad Magazine selling?
Yeah.
Mad Magazine's got more money...
Oh, okay.
Because it sells
it's
so
partly,
much.
Partly
yeah.
that. Partly...
Daredevil was always a lower-tier comic...
EC was the also paid the best.
So
of all
where there. At what point was he drawing the Spirit?
He would have been drawing the Spirit
before or after Marvel.
have been before Marvel, but it would have been during his time at EC.
Okay.
He would have just been working, you know, because EC, I mean, the thing with EC, I mean, he
did some beautiful stuff, by the way, for the Spirit of Hugh.
Oh, yeah. His well, he did like basically the rocket ship stuff.
Yeah, Spirit on the Moon,
For that. And the thing is, when you worked for EC, was that because you weren't like doing a full page, you weren't doing like a full, I'm wondering if that was part of it, right? Like he was doing 6 to 8 pages for Mad, but he was drawing like a full 20 for Marvel.
Right.
But that's partly why he developed that idea that there's a thing that he said, like if it's, you know, if it's this, you know, if you can trace it, you can, you know what I mean? Like, so he had like, these little cheats that he said, like, and part of that was because he went from a job where he was making $150 a page to really like do beautiful work and get paid for it to a place where he just had to hack it out in order to make the equivalent amount of money that he was. So he was having to do 20 pages instead of 8 for the equivalent for the same amount of money.
Was he inking his own stuff at Mad Magazine?
Yes.
But it probably wasn't at Marvel because they were doing the Marvel method. So yeah, it was probably like...
Yeah, yeah.
Was he...
I think inking is... I mean, for someone who's done it for a while, I think inking is easier than the penciling and stuff like that because you've already laid down your groundwork.
So yeah, I know, but it's just sheer time.
Yeah,
know that you're doing.
Yeah.
And I wonder if he was doing it the Kirby style, where like they give him the plot and he'd basically have to, you know, figure out how to break it down.
I don't know.
Or if
about
it was
that,
more
yeah.
straight script situation.
I don't know. I don't know what the style was for, or if they changed it for someone who hadn't worked in that style before, and so it made it. But he was pretty talented. So they might have been like, you can figure it out.
And that's another thing, by the way, with the Steve Ditko thing, is if he was doing it in the Marvel method, then he was doing a lot more work than just drawing what the writer was putting down.
Exactly,
there.
Exactly. Yeah. Not only was, because just like Kirby, even when they were working from a pre-established idea, they went in and talked to Stan Lee, and together they would, you know, kind of, whatever they call that thing when you work together.
Collaborate?
Not collaborate, but when you like... have ideas going back and forth or whatever.
Brainstorm.
You know, they would brainstorm the scripts.
Sounds like a good name for a superhero.
Yeah, you're wrong. Firestorm is better.
Okay.
When you have, you know, so even then, even when it was like a kind of a pre-established idea where he's coming in, you know, with like a plot and stuff like that, he generally worked it out with Stan Lee. It wasn't just Stan Lee giving him some pages that said, you know, there's a guy Electro and he's 70 years old and he's going to try and kill Spider-Man, you know. It was Kirby who said, I'm going to draw a villain who's like as old as the hills. I don't know why these guys want to beat up a teenager so badly, but there's a lot of generational problems here. Eh?
Well, actually, I think that was one of the things that worked for Spider-Man was, you know, it's like you're a young kid. So if you're a teenager, who's a pain in the ass to you?
Mm-hmm.
Old people.
Yeah. Still that case.
Yeah, your boss, J. Jonah Jameson, that guy's a real asshole. But you can't punch your boss.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, what do we got? We got an old guy who's yelling at you, and he's the Vulture, like an old guy. Punch him in the face. Okay, now there's this guy, Dr. Octopus, he's an old guy. He's just yelling at you. Punch him in the face. Yeah, punch them all. Why not?
Let's punch everyone.
Yeah. Now, I'm trying to remember why Ditko left. I think was it the Green Goblin character? That he didn't like the twist that was coming up on that? Or was it... I'm trying to remember.
I don't
like
know. I was wondering.
Okay, here's what I believe it is. I think it was... the whole thing with the Green Goblin was you never saw his face.
Yeah.
So it always changed and you'd see like shadow and like, oh, who is it? Mm-hmm. And then we're going to reveal it. And Stan Lee's take on it was, it's Harry Osborn, who's his Peter Parker's friend's dad.
Okay.
Who we've seen a couple of times. Rich guy.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's good. And Ditko went, no. Nope, it's just a guy. We've never met him. Because crime can be anywhere.
Okay.
It can be any... that's corny bullshit.
Yeah.
Just it's just a guy we don't know.
Yeah.
And then we'll fill in his backstory later.
Yeah.
And Stanley was like, no, it's not just a guy we don't know. We've been setting this up for forever. It's like, you haven't seen his face. Who is it? It's this guy that we have never met.
I can see Stanley's point there.
Yeah. And I can see both their points. No, crime is...
Yeah.
You know, it's not... just a person you know. It's like crime is everywhere. It could be anyone.
Crime is faceless and really old.
Yeah.
That's what Ditko said.
And so they, I believe Ditko left over that.
Wow.
And, you know, or at least left Spider-Man over that. I believe he was still doing things like Strange Tales, where he'd be drawing the Human Torch and, you know, and stuff like that. And, of course, Doctor Strange stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny how they, Strange Tales, Doctor Strange, Amazing Stories, or Amazing Fantasy.
Right.
Amazing Spider-Man.
And what was it called right before the 15th issue? It was called Amazing Fantasy on the 15th issue, but from issues 1 to 14, it had a different name. What was it? Slightly longer.
Amazing Island?
Amazing Adult Fantasy.
Oh. I doubt very much that that had any kind of content at all.
Well, why would you have the word adult?
Because at that time, comic books were not aimed at children.
Mm.
They were aimed at adults because adults still read comics. And you didn't want to... You were trying to keep the comics code happy. So you didn't want to have something that had, you know, like punching and stuff like that being aimed at children.
Right. That's so fair.
If you kept it a little higher, like in the problem was, is that comics, you know, what's appealing about them is that dynamic element to them. You know, just the way they work, the way they work best when it's making our minds fill in action. You know, it's less interesting to fill in people talking. You know, so if you're going panel to panel and people are just talking, your mind isn't really working the way it does when you're filling in action between panels. That's when it's really exciting. That's when comics are really comics, right?
Yeah. Go ahead, please.
Oh, sorry. You could say.
I was just going to say something I find interesting with the Marvel comics, especially the ones that are so popular now, is they are the Marvel, movies.
Yes.
Is they're all the B characters that didn't really fly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like Iron Man was never a successful character in the comics, really. It was just, he's a guy. He's around. No big deal.
But he's a cool design, and I think that iconically he's important.
Well, it's a simple idea. It's like, what's the deal? He's a guy who sells weapons, who got hurt by his own weapons, built a suit of armor, got it, and he's just a guy in a suit of armor. So you're not... That first Marvel movie didn't have a lot of stuff for you to buy into.
Yeah.
It didn't, like, there's talking raccoons. What? Too much. Too far. There's magic. Bullshit. What? No.
Ian,
you had an explosion
and
you turn into a monster. Bullshit. No. It's like, it's a guy we've established. He's building a suit of armor, and we're going to start slow. He built a suit of armor with flamethrowers. Yeah. All right. And now he's built a better suit of armor. Okay, now it can fly a bit, but we're going to take you gradually to that.
Yeah.
Okay, you're getting me to buy into the flying thing. So by the time you get now, it's like, now you got the Vision. Like, what the shit?
Yeah.
What kind of crazy world is this? There's magic stones and they're bringing robots to life and she's a magic Scarlet Witch and she can do all this stuff. They just did it so nicely, you know, along. But like, even like the second film was the Hulk, which had already been a movie. The Hulk was a character that didn't work out. Like, his first 6-issue series got canceled at the 6th issue. No one liked him.
Well, didn't the X-Men get canceled as well?
Oh, yeah. X-Men got canceled, like, I think it was 30th issue. Or
okay.
Then became like, I think they kept it going for some reason as reprints.
Okay.
Until, you know, they brought in the new X-Men and then it took off. But yeah, that was a dead franchise for sure.
I wonder if they liked the idea and they just kept kind of wanted to keep it out there.
Yeah, even Thor was not super popular.
No.
So all these characters were like, eh. And then Guardians of the Galaxy, Jesus Christ, what are those things? Those, nothing.
Yeah.
And even Doctor Strange, that's a character who famously, everyone's got an idea for a Doctor Strange book. No Doctor Strange books have ever really worked.
Yeah.
I've never really sold, you know? Mm. Even Brian K. Vaughan, you know, who I think did one of the best ones with this book, The Oath, even that didn't do...
That's the one I've read.
Yeah,
I said
quite
I read
good.
A modern
version.
Yeah.
Nice art. It's good, but still... Meh. You know, no one really cares. Doctor Strange never sells.
Well, because I think that a lot of people who like
magic
comics
is bullshit.
Exactly. I think a lot of people who like comics come out of the science fiction kind of thinking and don't enjoy that kind of fantasy elements as much as they want science fiction. And there is, it's becoming less hard than it used to be, but there used to be a hard division in science fiction between science fiction and fantasy, and they didn't want the two to be together.
Yeah.
They didn't want sword and sorcery to mix with hard science fiction, you know, that had one or two gimmies, but the rest of it had to be accurate scientifically.
In the movies,
you know,
in the Marvel movies, you got Thor, which is a magic character in the comic, and they really kind of push, well, our science is so advanced that it's like magic to you, but it's not magic. It's like, it is magic.
Yeah, it
is. You find giants and you got werewolves or giant frost wolves. It's fine. It's magic, but, you know, we're selling it as this, and now they're finally going, nope, just full on magic. But the problem with magic always is, what's his limits? He waves his hands and what can he do?
Yeah.
There's no the great thing about Spider-Man is, here's his powers.
Yes.
He's got this power, this power, this power. He's going up against a guy who can fly.
Not just what are his powers, but what are his vulnerabilities? Because that's more important than powers. This is why a character like Superman is so hard to make work, because what are his vulnerabilities? Over time, all his vulnerabilities have been filled in. So what started as a guy who could jump over a building became a guy who could fly, became a guy who could not just race a speeding bullet, but could stop a speeding bullet,
right.
And et cetera, et cetera.
It's the power fantasy.
That's right. And so it's become more and more.
Which makes for a bad story. The fantasy makes for a bad story. Mm-hmm. So power fantasy, you want to project yourself into Superman, but then if you try to lay out a story with Superman in it, it's a snooze because you can do all the things you want to, but you love to fantasize that you're Superman.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. That's what makes Lord of the Rings interesting to people who like Lord of the Rings is that the characters who are taking us through the story are the most vulnerable characters mm-hmm. in the story. They're not Gandalf. They're not Boromir. They're not Elrond. You know, they're people. Is that really a guy who? They're not Galadriel.
That's a siren that's about to go.
It's
by.
A policeman.
Is it a policeman?
Yeah.
Let's see.
That oh, I'm wrong. It was
fire truck.
It was a fire truck, everyone.
So you're saying L. Ron Hubbard was in this?
No. I was thinking of L. Rond. Isn't that one of the characters in
maybe.
It?
Maybe. I don't know too much.
Yeah.
I watched the movies.
But I mean, that's the thing about the stories, though, is that, you know, that's what makes it interesting is the characters that you're most concerned about are the ones that are most easily squished by ants.
And like the Marvel movies, at least in the movie form,
yeah.
you get your buy-ins gradually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like, he's just a guy who's in the Shire. Oh, that's normal.
Yeah. Well,
there's a little bit of magic. We're going to have a little magic with the fireworks.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's not completely unrealistic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gandalf, you know, has these abilities. Okay, and then you build and you build and you
yeah.
build and you build. Yeah.
And Gandalf's character changes through the story as well. Like, his abilities change because he's not a human. That's mm-hmm. part of the... But you know, like, my feeling about Matt, I don't really mind magic like you don't like it at all, obviously, but I feel like if you do have magic...
I don't mind magic. I just think it fucks up stories.
It's not that it fucks up stories, but I think that if it becomes a power fantasy, then it does fuck up stories. But any kind of magic, like Superman's powers are magical.
Mm-hmm.
Really, they're magical.
Sure.
And so Spider-Man's powers are in a way magical, but what makes them work is that there's limits to the magical powers
right.
that he has. So yes, he can heal himself like a spider, although I don't know if spiders really do heal themselves.
He doesn't heal like a spider.
But he does heal faster than other people do.
A little bit. He doesn't look at his wound and watch it.
No, but you know what I mean, right? Like, he is stronger.
Yeah, because he's got to be good by the next month.
There you go.
He can't just be going, I still have a broken arm.
He is stronger and faster than other people.
He does get a cold every so often.
That makes it interesting.
Yeah. Superman's vulnerability is caring about people. That's his vulnerability, really.
I guess that is a vulnerability.
Krypton, but, you know, it's like, yeah someone's in danger. That's mm-hmm. that's what Krypton's thing is. His own moral code is
yeah.
his weakness.
Yeah.
And also his strength.
Mm.
That's by the way, tips for writers. Your weakness is your strength.
Oh.
There you go. Enjoy.
Wow. That's
enjoy
nice.
Every time.
Use that.
Every damn time.
Use that, everyone. Use it.
He cares about his family, but his family drives him on to do the thing that he cares to
so,
do.
So I think Doctor Strange could be an interesting character if you recognize limits to his abilities. You know, so
there has to be a sense. So nuts. That who fucking cares?
Well, but then that becomes... It's interesting, but I bet you it would get kind of boring.
I wonder.
You know, like, there's not really, like...
You couldn't do it month to month.
Madcap Mayhem.
You could do it in a movie. You could, like, go so bananas.
Yeah.
So bananas that just, like... And then something happens, like, where one of the characters does a braggy brag and, like, gets smug, and that smugness is where you do the twist, and it's like, aha! Because you can't do... Obviously, and we haven't seen the movie yet, but like, you can't do the thing where, like, why do I beat you? Because I'm stronger than you.
Mm-hmm.
No, the villain has to be stronger than you.
Yeah.
So the only way that the villain can lose is the villain gets so arrogant
yeah.
that the villain does something that, you know, because if the villain, almost every time, if the villain just did his fucking plan,
yes,
well, it's fine.
You're
winning, you ass.
It is one of the more
There'll
frustrating.
There'll be something that'll go, I've got to shove it in this guy's face.
Yeah.
And in the shoving it in this guy's face, that's where Doctor Strange goes, what? Idiot says what? Idiot says what? Like, punch. Like, okay, that's how he gets him.
Yes.
No, he didn't expect me to use physical force because mm-hmm. we were just doing a magic fight. Ha ha, the twist. Meh.
Maybe that's part of it too. There's no physicality to Doctor Strange, so a lot of it is...
Well, he's got broken hands.
Yes.
His hands are fucked up.
I know
up.
They are. And what I'm saying
is... So
he
can't punch a dude.
That's a problem, though, is there's very little physicality in mm-hmm. Doctor Strange. So you end
though
up
lately,
with...
they've been giving him a big axe to swing.
Okay.
And in the here's
they've
the thing.
Recognized my, it, they recognize my criticism.
Right. I mean, and if you read Doctor Strange comics right now, he's got a big axe
yeah.
and he chops things. And if
yeah.
you read Thor comics right now, not yeah. the female Thor, but the original Thor,
yeah.
he's got an axe and he chops things.
Mm.
So for some reason, I don't know if they've got an endorsement from Axe Body Spray that they're
yeah.
trying to push, but axes are big in Marvel right now.
Interesting.
Because he can't use his hammer because he's not worthy anymore.
Which actress will be playing the female Thor?
Well, Oh, I don't want to.
Thora Birch.
Okay, we can wrap it up. That's an hour and a half. We're good. There we go.
What's wrong?
No, everything's great. That was a fantastic joke.
You didn't like
it? No, it's fantastic. It's a great joke. Everyone's happy. It's fantastic.
Someone liked it.
Sure, someone did.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a pot for every lid.
There is.
Yep. And a lid for every pot. And a Thora Birch joke for every... The joke was worthy.
Of?
Contempt. I'm just saying.
You're just jealous you didn't think of it.
I'm so jealous. That's right. You know what? Your parents were right when they said all the kids are jealous of you and your jokes.
Green with envy.
They were right. Yep, like
green
the Hulk.
Green with envy.
Yep, as green as the Hulk.
I know, I can see it.
As green as Gamera.
Everyone.
As green as Drax the Destroyer in the comics version, not the movie version.
You can write.
As green as the Goblin. How green is my Goblin?
You can write and tell Dave how great that joke was. Mm-hmm. At our website, sneakydragon.com, we have a message board there where you can leave comments. We love to read them, and even sometimes we will reply to them. Which reminds me, sorry about last week. I don't know what happened. I hope everyone got to hear.
Was it all the jokes you did last week? No. You've never apologized for
them. No, your jokes last week, sir.
Oh, man. What a twist.
Put it back in your face. In your face.
Jerk says what? Jerk says what?
None with a hoodoo?
Come here. Pow! Magic war.
By the
flames of Faultine.
What happened last week? I don't know what happened last week. The show didn't download properly. It didn't convert properly into an MP3. It cut off the last bit of the show.
Oh.
Which I didn't realize. Then I just uploaded it onto the site. And fortunately, Jeremy, wrote to me very early in the morning. I was actually at church, so I couldn't do very much. But he said, the show is, the ending is
You read that on your phone and went, oh my God!
Yeah.
And they all went, good for him. He really likes God.
He really likes God here. Jesus Christ! Oh, I can't believe how religious he is. Fucking God! Okay, this is too far. Too much religion. Great, Caesar's Holy Ghost. It was a problem. And I felt bad because I had so proud at the end of the show. I put like a song on that kind of related to the ghosty part of the show. And I was so pleased with it. And then it fucked. So if you didn't hear the end of the show, it is now available. So thank you for that. And yes, so there on the comments board. We also are on Facebook at Sneaky Dragon. You can email to us if you want to email. We really do like to get emails. SneakyD@SneakyDragon.com. And we're on Twitter, Sneaky_Dragon. We're also on Tumblr. Sneaky Dragon, and we have a Patreon, which is also Sneaky Dragon. So if you go to Sneaky Dragon on Patreon, you can help support the show. We really do appreciate fans who are doing that. And an easy way to do it is if you go to the website, under every episode that's posted, there's a little link to our Patreon page.
Yep.
Enough of that, everyone.
Yeah, thanks. And you can also follow us on Fistbook.
You can follow us on Fistbook.
Yep.
Okay, what is that?
It's basically a fight club type thing that we have.
He shouldn't be talking about it.
We can, because it's Fistbook. The first rule of Fistbook is everyone talk about it. We all get together, we talk about the show, and then we beat each other up every week. But we dress as our favorite Steve Ditko characters. Who's your favorite Steve Ditko character? Who will you be going to Fistbook with? I'm going to go as Hawk from Hawk and Dove.
So I don't recommend that we do this. But anyway, who I will be fisting as is...
You'll be Fisty Knight, the character from Luke Cage.
I'm going to say Mr. A.
Okay.
Because I don't know why.
There was a parody, I'm going to say this
a character
fast.
Who can throw a card.
I don't know who did this parody, and I really am sorry. I think it might have been Terry Beatty. I'm really not sure. But someone did it, and it's all I can think of when I think of Mr. A now.
Yeah.
It was like he had the card, and on the card was written, black is black and white is white. The more they meet, the more they fight. The difference between them has never been more real, so eat your beans at every meal. Now, whenever I think of Mr. A, I think of that.
Yeah, that's good. Mr. A, those comics are crazy, so I enjoy them. Avenging World is just a nutty thing.
Could you give us some links, perhaps, on our
page? I'll try. I'm not too sure how much web presence Steve Ditko has. I think he's one of those kind of guys like Dave Sim, where you kind of use people to... as a way to get places, right? Like, so Dave Sim, like, has people who are fans, and he, like, he tells them things, and then they type it out, and
then
they
put it on a raven and throw it out the window.
Throw it out the window.
Speaking of which, you know, we started off this episode before the episode went, like, oh, you got like the new Cerebus comic.
That's true.
I guess you can talk about that in this episode, but you didn't.
Didn't.
So maybe next week.
Because I haven't read it yet. So I'll read it.
And we're
going to
have a special guest as well next week. Special surprise guest.
That's right. Special surprise
guest. That's right.
Probably won't want to come on the show after this episode.
No, that makes sense.
It's a little hint. She's going to say it jumped the shark. I think.
Oh, interesting. I see where the clue you just dropped there. Yeah. So is this Henry Winkler's coming on our show?
Henry Winkler will be coming on the show.
Who you've now identified as female. So he's going to reveal that he has been female this whole time.
Female the whole time. He pulled a real Fonz.
Interesting. All right. Send us off.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to the show this week. We think you're great. Goodbye.
Off to the movies.